Your Majesty, your Majesties, this is far more generous than my prince or I dared to contemplate, Pine Hollow said, and for perhaps the first time in his life as an envoy or a counselor to the crown, there was not even a trace of diplomatic hyperbole in his response. To be honest, my prince feared, and was prepared to face, your demand for his imprisonment, or even his execution. Certainly he never contemplated the possibility that you might offer to unite his house with yours, with both of your houses, instead. I will be frank, my lord, Charlian said, speaking for the first time. The terms King Caleb has just described to you originated almost entirely from his suggestions, not mine. As you, I was astounded by the generosity of his proposals. Had I been in his place, I think I would have found it far more difficult to have responded in such a way after such a long and intense period of hostility. Nonetheless, on mature reflection, I believe he's shown as much wisdom as generosity in this instance. While I would never go so far as to say I believe Prince Narmon's conscience is as pure as the driven snow, I will say, as someone who was compelled, against her will, to support her kingdom's most bitter enemy in a totally unjustified war against an innocent friend, that I realize full well that not all which has passed between Emerald and Caris was of Prince Narmon's doing. In that sense, at least, we've all been victims of the Group of Four and of the corruption which has so contaminated and tainted the Church. As Caleb said to me when we discussed this matter, it's long past time for us to turn our attention to the challenges and the great enemy we hold in common. The writ teaches that reconciliation is one of the godly virtues. Very well. Let us be reconciled with Prince Narmon and with Emerald, and then let us go forward together to face the great struggle of our lives. Your Majesty, Pine Hollow said with a profound bow, I see the reports of your wisdom, which our admittedly inferior Emeraldian spymasters, he allowed himself a wry smile, have managed to bring us in Erastor, have failed to do you justice. As my prince's plenipotentiary, I accept your most generous terms in his name. Nor do I fear that he will feel any temptation to override my acceptance. So long as both of you understand this, my lord, Caleb re-entered the conversation. Pine Hollow looked at him, and the king's eyes were hard. First, there will be no second chance. So long as Prince Narmon keeps faith with us, we will keep faith with him. But should he prove faithless, there will be no generosity, no mercy, the next time. I understand, Your Majesty, Pine Hollow said quietly. Then understand this second point equally clearly, my lord. By these terms, by this marriage, we will bring an end to the enmity between the House of Armagh and the House of Bates. But in so doing, your prince, as Queen Charlin and myself, will have declared his personal war, the war of our houses, not simply the war of our realms, against the Group of Four, the Council of Vicars, and the Grand Vicar himself. There will be no going back, Earl Pine Hollow. This decision, this declaration, is forever. The only possible outcomes are victory or total destruction, and I advise you and your prince to think long and hard upon the nature of the death the Grand Inquisitor visited upon Eraic Dinis. That is the fate which awaits any of the Temple's enemies who fall into its power. I understand that as well, Your Majesty, Pine Hollow said even more quietly, meeting Caleb's eyes levelly. Indeed, Prince Narmon himself said very much the same thing to me. I won't pretend I was happy to hear it, or that the thought of raising my own hand, far less my sword, against Mother Church didn't fill me with dismay. I'm a son of Mother Church, and all I ever wanted was to be loyal to her. But how can any man of conscience be loyal to someone who, as my prince put it, whistled up our princedom like a hired footpad and ordered us to cut an innocent man's throat? A valid question, my lord, Charlian said softly. Alas, there are those who will insist obedience to God's church requires them to acquiesce even in acts such as that, when commanded to do so by men who wear the orange. I was such a man, Your Majesty, Pinehollow acknowledged, and in some small corner of my soul I wish I still were. My heart misses that certainty. But, as Archbishop Michael's letter made painfully clear, there is indeed a distinction between God himself and the archangels, on the one hand, and mortal corrupt men who claim to speak in God's name, upon the other. What we owe to God, we do not owe to those who pervert all he is to serve their own ends. If that's truly Prince Narmon's opinion as well as your own, my lord, Caleb said, then Queen Charlian and I will welcome him warmly. Just as, he smiled suddenly, I'm certain the group of four will welcome all of us warmly, if perhaps in a somewhat different fashion, should they ever have the opportunity.